Mark 4, if you have a Bible tonight, want to read with us, Mark 4. Mark 4. I'm going to read the last verse, and we're going to start from there. Mark chapter 4, verse 41. I mix up my personal study. Sometimes I study through books. Sometimes I study Bible characters. And right before Easter, I found myself studying Peter and the life of Peter. And it just seems like I'm continuing to go studying him. And if you don't know, the writer John Mark was the same guy that was with Paul and Barnabas in the book of Acts. And we know that him and Paul had an issue. And when they got ready for the second journey, Paul wouldn't take him, but they left him behind. And Barnabas went with John Mark, and Paul went with Silas. Calvin's looking at me. Am I not working? All right. So Peter spent a lot of time with John Mark before he died, kind of a caregiver. So the book of Mark is Peter's account written by John Mark. Everybody okay with that right now? So Mark's the writer. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples. He wasn't an apostle. He was a laborer with Barnabas and Paul. And he was influential in writing this book. And you're going to see a lot from Peter's viewpoint as you read this. So as I've been studying Peter, I find myself now studying the book of Mark. I've made it to the fourth chapter. I'm looking at my Bible on Monday, and it's wrote all over the fourth chapter. So that means one thing. I have preached from here in the last year and 3 months. Because I know when I got this Bible, and I usually get rid of them within 2 years, and I start all over. So if I preach something 3 years from now, I won't know it because my memory's not good enough to remember, and I don't have a Bible that will show me. And I don't keep no outlines. So when the outlines are done on Sunday, they go in the trash. And when I re-preach, I re-study, and what I find is God just opens more and more doors. So, all that said and done, another story from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And I looked at my notes here, and nothing I'm going to tell you tonight comes from my notes in the past. All right? So this is new for me. It should be new for you. All right? Not like you never heard it before, but new from me to you, okay? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I can't say every sermon I preach from this story, but I'm going to say close to everyone. I've always talked about us going through storms in our life and how this scripture fits that. And it does. But there's a bigger issue here. It may just be a play on words that you hear from me, but I think it's not. I think going through a storm with Jesus makes a difference. And I think verse 41, that's what he's trying to say. And these guys were struggling with that. They said, and I'll read it again, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So just to recap what's happened in three chapters in the book of Mark. The first thing is he casts a demon out. Then he heals a man with leprosy. Then a man with palsy, and then a man with a withered hand. Y'all with me so far? We just went through three chapters, and Jesus has done all those things, And a few more things. He's taught on the power of the seed of a mustard and how that it's going to make a difference, how it's planted and where it's planted. And I think all that was leading up to the lesson tonight, because you can be a follower of Jesus but not know who Jesus really is. Somebody trying to get in here? If they are, there's not even a class here anymore. So somebody else has got amnesia besides myself. When you read this story, I think Peter and these guys are saved people, don't you? Y'all can nod. But they don't really know who Jesus is. Is that even possible? That you have left your job and you're following this teacher who you believe is the Messiah, the one that's come from God, you believe is virgin born, but you don't believe everything about him yet. Is that possible? I think it surely is. And I think a lot of us follow Jesus and we read our Bibles and we pray and we study, but I think we forget who he really is. And sometimes in a time of a storm, you really find out who he is. It's a great place to get a lesson. So when you read this with me tonight, I want you to think from that viewpoint is they don't know who he really is, because it says what manner of man he is. Go help them, Shane. They're struggling. Trying to get to their class that don't exist. All right, back to the story. It's going to be a tough one tonight. I can done tell. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Amen? Here we are. We'll just change the sermon. All right. Where was I, babe? I've done lost my place. Let's go back to verse 35 and let's see the story. But keep in mind the end of the story. They're going to go through this whole story and they're still going to say this. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and waves obey him. At the end of the story. So they've been through the storm. They see everything he does. But yet, they don't know exactly who he is. Verse 35, the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, I looked at my past notes right here in the last year and 2 months. I didn't bring out the us. Now, that's where I'm getting my thoughts with you tonight is, as you and I go through a storm, he's with us. Y'all agree with that? We don't go anywhere through anything that he's not with us. You can't say, you can't go on this trip, Jesus. He's going anyway. All right? He's with us. So as this storm gets started, I want you to know he's in it with them. And to me, that's a major ordeal in my life to know that whatever I go through, I'm not alone. Verse 36. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. All right, Bible trivia people, who looks like he want a nap. What's going on in the story? They take him in a ship, it says, as he was. I don't know, Brother Steve. What do you think? Well, if you back up and read the first part of this chapter, when Jesus got ready to teach, the multitudes were just pressing upon him, and he got into a boat, and he went out a little bit from the shore, and he started teaching the people. Remember that? He's got a floating pulpit. Now, if you've ever been on the water in a boat, you can hear everything. That's why the daddies always say to the boys or the girls while they're fishing, what? And they drop something and you hear it on the other side of the lake, right? I mean, sound carries. Jesus was there. He didn't need Calvin to get the speakers and mic working. It's casting out across the water to the people. Now, Jesus never gets out of the boat. That's what this verse tells us. Why he was doing what he was doing, it came time to go to the other side. They took him as he was in the boat already. All right? Now, the Bible says this, and this is an interesting one. You all go home and cipher it out and then call me tonight and let me know. And there were also with him other little ships. You know this story is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And do you know not one other writer talks about the other little ships? So my question is to the congregation that you will help me with tonight, sometime, now call me before 12. I like to get to sleep by 12. Did those other little ships go all the way through the other storms with them? Did they turn around and go back? Who's in the other ships? Just some questions to keep you awake. Here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. This is an eyewitness account. If people want to doubt the Bible, this would be a hard place to doubt. Because this writer is recalling everything about that day. The time of day it was. The other boats. What had happened that day. It's all there. This is not just a story. Now there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Go with me to Matthew, just really quick. Matthew chapter 8. I want you to see what Matthew recorded about this story. I've got Matthew pegged as this guy who catches every little detail. Don't you have Matthew kind of like that? Rochelle says, I think he was a little autistic. He just like catches everything and everything's numbered and in order. Now watch this, though. Watch Matthew's account of this story. In Matthew 8, verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, Peter, through Mark, says it was a storm. And Matthew said it was a tempest. All right, what's a tempest? I was going to look in her song. I bet we got it in there. He anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'd sail the wild seas no more. That's what I thought. Yeah. What? But in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. That'd almost make a sermon, wouldn't it? For sure, it'd make a song. What's a tempest?
A gale.
All right, got a gale, got a storm. Y'all gonna be shocked. If you look it up in the Greek, which is what it was written in, it was an earthquake in the water. Huh. Kind of tsunami-ish. Now what about that? So Matthew throws a little extra detail in. He called it a tempest. Now I'm telling you, don't Google now. Google later. You're going to find that a tempest was like an earthquake in the sea. And Matthew says it was a tempest in the sea. Now, I'm reading a story last week, 1966, there was a fleet of boats out of Italy. They were named Michelangelo, Raphael, seemed like the Ninja Turtles, don't it? Well, that's what they were all named. The four ships were named those names before they were Ninja Turtles. 65, they set them out and started making the voyages across the sea. These three boats out of Italy were number 3, 4, and 5 of the fastest ships that could cross the ocean. Michelangelo in 1966 was coming into port. And when it showed up into port, the whole front end of the boat was gone. The glass was knocked out of the top. And there was a hole in the side, they said, big enough to drive a dump truck through. 80 miles outside of the harbor, a rogue wave, that's what the writer said, a rogue wave hit the boat. A rogue wave, 80 miles away from shore, and knocked all that off that boat, killed two people, and there's 1,400 and some passengers, about 800 and some people waiting on shore to receive these people, and when they got there, nobody could even say a word. But you imagine the people's faces that walked off that boat. A rogue wave. Has anybody ever had a rogue wave in their life? Like everything's been like smooth sailing. We're about 80 miles from shore. And all of a sudden, boom! That knocked a hole in your life. That's this kind of storm. But don't get caught up in the storm yet. Don't forget about Jesus in the storm. He's in the storm. Now keep going. And the Bible said, it beat into the ship so that the city was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. That's all. I can't tell you how many people I've heard try to explain that. And here's the best illustration, the best example, the best answer that I have. He's tired. I think we all sit here and forget one simple fact. He was 100% man. You run like he'd been running, doing what he'd been doing, traveling like he'd been traveling, and you found yourself on a boat, you tell me you don't get a nap. He was tired. And really, if you read the other accounts, Matthew and John, in particular, you'll find out that he was going for some rest. All right? So, I don't think that's an issue right there. People say, yeah, but this was just like Jonah. I'm going to tell you something, Bev. I think Jonah was tired. Running from God's not easy either. Running for God is not easy, and running from God's not easy. Either way, it can be tiring. Y'all right? Because when you're running from God, your conscience and your conviction don't let you get good sleep. Come on. And believe it or not, when you're running with God and for God, God starts showing you more things. And before you know it, you find yourself 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning praying for some people. Because you just met them today and they had some issues and you can't get it off your mind. Do you know that? That's possible? Jesus, the Bible said in Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes coming at him, Brother Paul, the Bible said he was moved with compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. I'm telling you, I think our Savior was physically tired. And he's in the bottom of that ship. He is sleeping. And here's the part where I'll talk to you a little bit. The Bible said the disciples came to him in verse 38 and they said, Master, I can't even imagine this coming out of anybody's mouth. Look at the wording that Peter recorded. Master, carest thou not that we, what? You reckon Peter was there anywhere about when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John 3 and he started talking about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him shouldn't, what? And why should they not perish? Why? Because God did what? So loved the world. And here's this group of guys, and they said, don't you care we're about to perish? Now, I wrote in my Bible this. This is brand new. I changed ink. That's how I know. When you're in a storm, sometimes your thinking's not right. Anybody catch that one? Does anybody ever think wrong? And you realize, whew, where'd that thought come from? That was not the right. Can I say this? Your feelings ain't even right. Your feelings. Your mood. Y'all with me? Was these guys really afraid? Sure they were. Now I'm going to tell y'all sitting in your nice air-conditioned building in the padded pew. Would you have been afraid? No. I've been through some stuff. Can I tell you all this? I think we forget a lot about the stories. But four of the guys made a living on the water. Four of the guys made a living on the water. This wasn't their first rodeo. But they were scared. So this was a bad boy. I mean, they'd seen storms in their life, but they had never seen this storm. They had not watched the weather guy. Who's our newest weather guy? I don't even know their names anymore. I don't have television. But it used to be T.G. Shuck, but he'd been long gone, ain't he? They don't have a meteorologist to watch. They don't know what's coming. But they'd been all their years of fishing. They'd never been in anything like this because they were afraid they were going to die in this one. I can't speak for another person in the room, but I've been in that kind of storm before. They thought I might die. Had those conversations with my spouse. Had those conversations with the older kids. I've had those thoughts. Talked about things nobody else ever been. Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the disciples and said to Peter, isn't this cool? He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. I circled this phrase, and there was a great calm. Now, here's the things that you ain't thought about, but you'll think about them on the way home or to Dairy Queen. The boat was filling with water. Just because the storm quit didn't mean all the water went out. But even in a full boat of water, they was calm. Can I tell you why? Because for the first time in their life, and I don't know why it is, but for the first time in their life, they realized the guy they've been traveling with has control over nature. They knew somebody, Brother Darrell, that had control over nature. How did I know that? I'm glad you all asked. I love preaching here because you all ask the greatest questions. Go to Psalms. Can I read you three passages of Psalms and then we'll almost get finished. I said almost. You heard that right. Go to Psalm 65. I won't read them all. I'm just going to read a piece of all of them. I'm telling you today, they knew somebody who controlled nature. They did know somebody. Psalm 65. Let me read 5 and 6 and 7. Let me start with 5. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at the tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. What does that say? It pretty much says he's in control, doesn't it? Go to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou what? Stillest them. Hey, these guys, you think they knew those verses? They grew up with this Bible, Old Testament. They knew the book of Psalms, don't you think? Just a shame if you're still here. They knew Psalms. They knew the songs of David. They knew there was a God who could still a storm. But He's not in the boat with us. This is the son of Mary, Joseph. But Brother Steve, they left her. I know they did. They believed He was the coming Messiah. But God? Watch Psalms 107. I know that was on your mind. Psalms 107. When's He going to read that one? I am right now. Psalms 107. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea. I want you to read all of this with me, okay? They that go down to the sea in ships. They do business in great waters. Now, four guys are fishermen. Is this a psalm of a fisherman? You think daddy, the ones that work for their daddy, James and John that work for dad, you think dad ever talked to them about this verses? He probably quoted them to them. They that go down to the sea in ships, they do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Anybody ever been on the big water? Made one trip through the reef. Belize has a reef in front of it. Was in a 22-foot, like a John boat kind of boat. It's 9/11. They had everything closed in Belize. No tourists. So Belizeans could go to the tourist places. So we go over to the island and Brother Ricky Salazar said, let me take you out on the big water. I said, yeah, let's do it. And there's a cut in the reef. And the reef is what the reef is. It's like rock and coral that stands up right at the edge of the water top. All right? And so what it is, you see the waves breaking right there. But on the other side, toward the beach, it's just calm like the lake. So he said, I'm going to take you over on the other side. I said, that's cool. So me and Rochelle and Josh and Sarah and Aaron and him and his wife, we take that little John boat, he's running that little motor like that, and we get through the cut of that reef, and we go out about 1 mile. I was begging him. And I said, Lord, if you ever get me back, I probably will never be on this side of a reef ever again. People's invited me on cruise ships, somebody offered to pay it away. I'm still here, not going. Because I felt like the tidy bowl man out there riding that thing, and they were waves way bigger than we were, and I'm looking at them like, how in the world am I going to get out of here? And he guided me back through that reef, and we got on our side, and I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm reading this psalm right here. He talks about taking them up to heaven and taking them down. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I bet they were some green faces. What you bet? Keep reading. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunk man. I got to tell this on Aaron since he just got back today. Hope he'll listen to it later. He wanted to always go fishing with the fishermen. They go out on these fishing boats and they all have little canoes and they stay for 1 week. And there's like 11 of them. They sleep underneath the boat and they all get out in their little canoe and they go fish all day and they bring their catch in there. So Aaron wanted to go with him. He's about 5. I said, sure, little, you can go. We know Cruz. You can go with him. Stay out there with him. 4 days, we get a call. Can you meet us somewhere and get Aaron? Yeah, he is sick as a dog. They said the first day they put him on an island, and Aaron said the island was doing like this. He said, Daddy, I could feel the island moving. He wanted off the island. He said, I need on solid ground. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to get any more solid than that, but I'm reading this psalm and this writer knows exactly what it's like to be on water. Keep reading with me. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Hey, y'all talk to Jack Meese after church. He about drowned me one time and a buddy in a John boat. Close. I mean, you almost didn't have a pastor or Jack Meese. You think that those guys were crying out to the Lord? I was just a kid, but I guarantee my dad and his buddy was crying to the Lord. This said, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm. Y'all say it. That almost sounds like New Testament. So that the waves thereof are what? And then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. There's a psalm that these fishermen knew about. And all the time they were trying to cry to God, only God was on the boat with them. And somehow, this week, God's been trying to show me that we're going through storms and we're crying out to God, but He is on the boat with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Right or wrong? He made a vow to me. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And folks, I believe that tonight. Now, I'm not going to say that in the middle of the storm I might think wrong. I might have the wrong feeling. But I tell you what I don't want to happen. I don't want to not know that He's with me. I need to be rest assured that in the chaos and the panic that He's with me. This ship's not going down without Him. All right, let me finish. He said, verse 40, He said unto them, why are you so fearful? Two words here, and I'll be done. It looks like fear and fearful are the same word, but there's two different words. I'm going to show them to you. Number one, He said, why are you so fearful? That word translates to have lack of courage. It's like, I'm a little scared of the dark still. I like some lights on when I'm coming in, Brother John. I like to see stuff. That's this kind of fearful, a lack of courage. Anybody there? Sometimes in life you like a lack of little courage. Jesus said, why do you lack courage? Why are you so fearful? How is it you have, and I circled this, He didn't say some faith, He said no faith. I can't speak for another person in the room, but that sounds hard to me. They've left jobs and everything, but the faith that He's talking about is the faith that will get you through stuff. See, our faith in Jesus was the bottom rung of the ladder, Betty. He's got more for us. He wants to build our faith. Many times the disciples said, Lord, increase my faith. I'm still praying that. And as you go through a struggle, the faith gets a little stronger. I'll show you that in my last point. How that you have no faith, and they feared exceedingly. That word fear means reverence. That's the same one when it talks about the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's not a lack of courage, Brother Arnie. That's a reverence fear. That's when you're in trouble with your father and he's coming and mama said, wait till your daddy gets home and you heard him pull in the driveway. You understand there's a fear there, not no courage, but there's a reverence fear. Y'all with me? That's what the Bible says these guys had. Because for the first time, Patrick, what in the world kind of man is this right here? That wind goes whoop and seas go shh. And they knew only the one person could do that. See, they couldn't read John 1 yet, could they? In the beginning was the Word was God, when the Word was with God. They couldn't read that one yet. But they got him right with them, Susan. Right there he is, God in the flesh, on the boat. Brother Steve, that'd be awesome to have. You all got the same thing. You got the third person of the Trinity, which is not like, well, we got the... I look at it as the cleanup guy. Come on. I need that guy to bat for me. He's the one that's going to put us out of the park. Jesus couldn't be on both sides. See, he'd been working on the west side, but the only way he could work on the east side, he had to get on a boat and go to the east side. But see, we serve a God now who lives in us, and he can serve in Danville and Belize and Africa at the same moment in time. Isn't that pretty good stuff? And they feared him exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him? Well, I got to read you one more verse. You know me. Go home and read Daniel 3. I'm not going to read that one to you. But I love how them guys answered Nebuchadnezzar. But if not. He can. But if not. There's some kind of calm there that I think only those boys had. But I'm going to tell you why. Because I think they knew the fourth man was around. Y'all can debate that one later. But go with me to Matthew 14. And I'm going to read you this and we're done. One verse, Matthew 14, verse 33. Different story. Matthew 8, Matthew 14 are two different stories about Jesus on boats with the disciples. One of them, he's asleep. The next one, he comes walking on the water. This is 14. This is later in their life. This is after that account when he's asleep and he wake him up. They didn't know what manner of man this was. But watch this. The Bible tells us in verse 32, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship, y'all read it, came and what? Of a truth. A while ago, Deborah, what manner of man is this? Another storm, a little closer to time. A really cool element that Peter didn't include in the book of Mark. Peter walks on the water. But when Peter gets a chance to pin it, he don't pin that. That shows Peter's humility. He's just thankful to know the maker of the wind. Woo! And so, when they realize, the Bible tells us they worship him and said, truly, you're the Son of God. See, he's getting them there. Aren't you glad that we have a God who takes his time with us? Aren't you glad God's not like us? I'm like, come on. How much longer are we going to have to drag you all along? Come on. Nobody ever like have any of that? But God's like, come on, we can do this together. I'm not going to let you go by yourself. I'm with you. I just want you to know who I am with you. You're worried about the storm. I want you to worry about me. I made all of this. I made wind and waves. And if I made them, I can control them. And all those intricate things that make this body work. Isn't God great? I'll show you a humorous one when we pray. Patrick knows this too. Miss Cochran rides, is one of our meal route people. She's 97. She was sharing with me and Rochelle today. I'd already kind of got a heads up, but she shared with me and Rochelle today. She said, "I am so excited." She said, "In 5 years, I get a new pacemaker." Did y'all hear me? She's 97. But she said, "In 5 years, I get a new pacemaker." That's how I want to ride the boat. Right there's how I want to ride the boat. Amen. I promise you, she knows who's with her on the boat. And I hope I'm alive to go see her get that new pacemaker.
Me too.
Let's stand and pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I know the passage really is about storms, but really it's about you. And you wanting them to know who you were. And Lord, that's all I could see this week is you reminding me who you are. And I think Peter was getting that too as he wrote it. Being truthful, what manner of man? He's recalling how he felt that day. What manner of man is this? But Lord, we knew that Peter knew it before he died, for sure. Through all the things he went through, you never gave up on him. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, thank you for bringing us through things. But Lord, I'm thankful most importantly that when we're in them, you're with us. And Lord, I know that you're going to be with us all the way through. So Lord, we just seek you tonight. Lord, if there's a need in the room, I would pray for that, that it would be met before we leave here today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.